Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge. 2015, and you're still working in the same job. Do you like it? Well, that's good. No? Well, that's not good. You know, everybody works in like a very weird, organic environment where things change by the minute. You got all these different personalities. It can be quite stressful and quite trying. You know, what if there's some like juicy office news that you know about and you only want to tell one person? Let's call him Jim. Let's say Jim is like, you know, your best friend at work. He's the guy you go to for information, and he comes to you with information, but you know something. So you tell Jim. All of a sudden, Jim goes and he tells Jane. She tells Joe. Then Joe tells George. And then George comes and tells you. And all of a sudden, you know that Jim can't keep a secret. Well, maybe you work in a toxic company culture. How would you describe your job? Not just your job title, but your exact job, your position for your boss at the company you work for. Is it fun? Is it exciting? Maybe challenging and rewarding? Maybe it's draining, exhausting, and stressful. Just like your personality impacts your relationships with your friends and family members, your company's culture plays a large role in how you and your colleagues feel about your careers. As an employee, you may not be able to rush into the CEO's office and demand that he or she make specific changes, but you can improve your day-to-day work life for yourself. But do you work in a toxic environment? Here are some signs that indicate that you might. The first, you're not sure if everyone is on the same team. Remember the story about Jim, Jane, Joe, George, and you? Have you ever wondered whether your coworkers are working with you to achieve a common goal or are competing against you for brownie points, recognition, promotions, or raises? What about your boss? Does he or she frequently take credit for your ideas or your work when you bring a new idea to the table? Does she provide you with a constructive feedback and recognize you for your contributions? Or does he or she, whether it be passively or directly, shoot down your ideas and make you feel as though you have no place bringing a new perspective forward? Ooh. If your boss or coworkers compete with you and with each other instead of working together, it is a clear sign of a problematic company culture. But what can you do in this situation? You document your work achievements, include dates, details of your role on the task or project, and numerical data that represent how you exceeded expectations. All right, that's a little too much. Finally, keep in mind that just because there's a game going on around you, that doesn't mean you have to play. You can do your job, go above and beyond, do what's expected of you, and you can excel without having to go crazy around you. Also, stand up for yourself when appropriate while still giving credit where credit is due. And in the worst case scenario, you may have to find a better work environment. If the culture of the organization is competitive rather than cooperative, I win and you lose rather than we win together, etc., an employee has to make a choice. If the employee has a good boss and a lousy system, that employee may choose to stay and contribute in the safety of that boss's team. Or that employee may choose to leave that organization and take their talents to a more safe, more inspiring workplace. This according to Chris Edmonds, author of the book The Culture Engine. Again, another sign that maybe you're working in a toxic situation. There are rats in the building, metaphorically, of course. If your company houses characters who are seedy at best, your work environment may suffer as a result. Bullies, liars, cheats, scoundrels all create an office environment that's unsettling to work in. But if your boss says he's just bending the rules as he shreds legal documents, it may be time to look for another place to work, especially if you can become an accomplice and brought up on charges later on. We asked Edmonds if there was any opportunity for employees who work in their toxic cultures, specifically any advancement opportunities. He said, as Lily Tomlin said, the trouble with the rat race is even if you win, you're still a rat. I think Mr. Edmonds just dated himself by bringing up Lily Tomlin. The 1971 reference doesn't really go well with the hip young crowd now, does it? Anyway, the other one here is, again, one of the signs you could be in a toxic work environment. Performance and values expectations are unclear. Edmonds explains that while there are several signs of a toxic culture, like a competitive environment, these variables are symptomatic of the organization's culture. They are logical consequences of the rules and norms that have evolved over time. For example, a culture founded on competition between team members rather than cooperation causes less trust, less information sharing, stronger silos, etc., he said. The root foundations of organizational culture are deeper and beyond these symptoms. I have learned to examine two primary elements, performance expectations and values expectations. When performance expectations are clear, leaders and employees know what is expected of them. When leaders and employees are held accountable for agreed to performance, company goals are consistently met. This again, according to Chris Edmonds. What it comes down to is there has to be equal respect in any workplace between you and the people you work with and between all of you and the person you work for. If there is no respect, or if that boss has favorites, you come in at 2 and you leave at 7, but you're being paid from 12:30 to 8 or something like that, that doesn't make everybody else feel all that good now, does it? Like any relationship in life, a work relationship can be very combative and very combustible at times. And if everyone isn't on the same page, that book can be quite a disturbing yarn. Stay with us. This is America Weekend, and I'm Ed Kalenge.
America Weekend.
Think Green. Harrison with you. New tests conducted by the Environmental Working Group's Shopper's Guide to Pesticides lists sweet bell peppers at the top of the list of vegetables found with the most pesticide residue. A single pepper off the average grocery store produce shelf contained 11 different pesticides. Celery comes in at number 2 with the highest percentage of pesticides. Get this, 94.1%. The third is kale, where 53% of kales tested had multiple pesticides, with 10 different pesticides on one sample alone. And lettuce, number 4, with 9 different pesticides found on a single lettuce sample, with 57 different pesticides found overall. And finally, number 5, carrots, the first vegetable that grows underground to have a high pesticide load. 82% of carrot samples had pesticide residue on them, with 40 different ones in toto.
Think Green with Harrison at ThinkGreenRadio.com.
Order in the court.
Do you remember eating margarine? This is attorney Jay Coleman with The Final Verdict. As you know, the United States Food and Drug Administration keeps a close watch on all foods manufactured in America. Many decades ago, the FDA determined several restrictions and guidelines had to be closely followed when making and selling margarine. The United States Congress even got involved by passing a bill called the Margarine Act. So, up until 1967, when some elements of the Margarine Act were altered, what was it illegal to do to margarine? Stay tuned for the final verdict. So what did Congress say you couldn't do to margarine? In its natural form, margarine is white. For many decades, until 1967 to be exact, it was illegal to color margarine yellow. And that's the final verdict.